street so long, singing the same old song. I know every crack in these dirty sidewalks and Broadway. Her hustle's the name of the game, and nice guys get washed away like the snow and the rain. There's been a load of compromising on the road to my horizon. I'm gonna be where the lights are shining on me, like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo. Like a rhinestone cowboy, getting cards and letters from people I don't even know. Offers coming over the phone. Well, I really don't mind the rain. A smile can hide all the pain. Put you down when you're riding the train that's taking the long way. And I'll dream of the things I'll do with the subway token and a dollar tucked inside my shoe. There'll be a load of compromising on the road to my horizon. But I'm gonna be where the lights are shining on me, like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo. Like a rhinestone cowboy, getting cards and letters from people I don't even know. Offers coming over the phone.
Just listening to South Mountain with the Glen Campbell classic Rhinestone Cowboy. On this recording, Jay Reel is taking care of drums and vocals and is the feature of today's interview. Good morning, it's Steve Todd, and I want to thank you for tuning into Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS. In this hour and following segments, you're going to learn about Jay's long, successful career in music, starting at the age of two, banging on a snare drum with his grandma, to playing in bands such as Terry Sumption, Farmer's Daughter, South Mountain, Thorn and Roses, and even backing up Dolly Parton during an awards ceremony. He's built his own studio and even worked with the prestigious Stratford Festival. Let's check in with Jay Reel to learn more about his musical career.
All right, thanks a lot for listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS. It's Steve Todd, and today we have Jay Reel. Thanks a lot for being on the show, Jay.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
This is great. Many people have talked about you, whether it's people like Grant Haywood or Doug Dietrich, Bill Murray. You've probably been mentioned 10 times about by different musicians. So.
It's amazing what $20 will do here and there.
Okay. So this is a bit of a history show. So I might just ask you to kind of go back in time to the, you know, when you first started playing music. Maybe you can talk about your family and where you grew up and how you got playing music.
Well, that... I got started really, really young, actually. I was the age of two, and it was with my grandmother, Grandma Reel, Adela. She who would be my father, Royce Reel's mother. She really showed me the passion. Of course, she loved playing piano and accordion and organ. And she used to play all the Dixieland stuff.
Really?
Catch the Tiger, Hold the Tiger, Roll Out the Barrel, When the Saints Come Marching In, that sort of stuff. And I'll never forget, I was two when she handed me some sticks. And I actually have a picture on my wall. I wasn't tall enough to actually sit on the seat, so I was standing with one foot on the kick drum. Okay. And I was literally looking at the snare drum. It was right at my eyes. And she'd just get me to go kick, snare. It started like that.
You're kidding. Wow.
And then, of course, that passion grew. But one thing I have to say about Grandma is that she never denied me that pleasure. I could remember as old as I can remember, I'd go pull on her apron and mom and dad would drop me off. They're going away for a weekend or something. And I'd run upstairs and grab on her apron and say, Grandma, let's go make music.
Wow,
and she would literally shut the stove off. And like, if she was cooking, Grandpa might have to wait a little longer for his dinner.
Okay. Well.
But we go over to the fridge and she pulled out these two little shot glasses and we had a little shot of Coca-Cola.
Okay.
I was two and Grandma had a sweet too. So she'd also put out like three or four chocolate rosebuds. That was her favorite. So we'd have two or three rosebuds and swill it down with that little, just like a swallow or two of Coca-Cola, and downstairs we'd go. And for a half an hour, every time I asked her, she never, never denied
me. Wow. What a great story.
Yeah. She really fueled my passion. She got me into this crazy industry we call music. And I had no idea it was happening at the time, but she really, really fueled my passion for it.
Excellent. Do you have brothers and sisters or is it just yourself?
I do. I have a brother. He's 5 years older than me, Trevor. And he also plays. He started on banjo, five-string banjo.
Okay.
And then switched over to bass. We had a band when I was 15, actually. I started professionally. I started making money.
Wow.
And personally, I think they just wanted me to drive. once I turned 16, then they had a DD. But
yeah.
That's how it started. We had a band called Partners, Brothers, and Friends. And of course, that's where it all started for me, playing the local clubs. And again, just fueling the passion. And then, of course, that led to other doors and other folks and other things.
So did you grew up in the Rostock, Stratford area then, I guess, right?
I did. Yep. Yep. Well, Gads Hill, which is basically Rostock, Gads Hill, just north of Stratford, about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yep. Raised out here. Yep.
Is that sort of like a family homestead? Like, because you mentioned your grandma, did your parents sort of grow up on the same land and everything? Or
Just around the corner in the same country block. But yeah, we were very close.
That's great. Good for you. I save my tears because I've done my crying. There's no use in me denying my old friend, this lonely gypsy. To pretend the same anxiety is settling in, that I'm close but I still ain't home. You don't know the life and the time I've spent trying to get the leaving out from under my skin. I get myself convinced and then the ties that. Yeah.
That was Farmer's Daughter with Lonely Gypsy Wind. A bit later in the program, you're going to hear how Jay played with Canadian singer-songwriter Jim Witter, and that experience led Jay to being a part of the group Farmer's Daughter. Let's return to our interview with Jay Real as he talks about his start with Terry Sumption.
So you've always been a drummer then?
I started as a drummer. That was my main, and still is my main sort of instrument. But then through osmosis, through opening a recording studio, you know, there was always guitars around and basses and keyboards and all these extra instruments. And of course, when most of the bands would leave, I'd sneak out and grab a guitar and start playing around and learn a chord here, learn a chord there. So I play a bit of guitar and some bass and a bit of keyboards, and I'm not afraid. I'll try anything. It might not be real good, but I'll give her a go.
Good for you. One of the cool things about you, and I've seen you, I think I've only seen you really once play, and it was the Long and McQuaid in Stratford, their grand opening. You were playing with your Thorn and Roses. But what I liked about you is you're actually playing the almost like a bass line, I think, on with a small little keyboard on the side of your drums.
That's correct. Yeah.
Awesome. Good for you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that sort of spawned that. That all happened about 24 years ago. I was playing with a band in Vancouver by the name of The Creators. And we were getting ready to go over to Europe, actually, to Holland. We had a self-promoted tour. I remember it took weeks. We were phone calling and sending packages and back to phone calls. And anyway, we put this little tour together about 3-4 weeks or so before the tour. The bass player decided he wasn't going. So the original version of that bass and drums was a mini Moog, where you can turn the note up so that it just hangs for infinity. Like you hit it and it just drones. So I actually played drums with two hands, but I would just mark the changes when I needed to. And then after that tour, when we got back, I basically, with the help of my friend Al Roger, he was a big mentor. He was the leader of that band. He helped me just leave my hand on the keyboard and just play it and not, and then play drums with one.
Really?
One
good for you. Arm. I admire that, because, you know, you got to think both your feet are doing different things and both your hands are doing completely different things. So to train your brain to do that must be,
you know what, there was one thing that Al said to me that made it all start to make, actually, I'm sorry, two things that he said to me that made it make sense. Of course, when I first started doing it, it was very awkward, like any instrument for the first time. It's just, it's awkward. So like even steel, I consider that the same as a steel player. Their knees are all making different things. Their feet are putting different pedals down. They got 10 to 12 strings and no frets. And then the right hand is, of course, is picking, and the left hand is doing the note. So each limb is doing a different element to make the steel sound like a steel. So similar with the drums and bass. But there was two things that Al said to me that made it all kind of come together for me. And the first one was, don't think about drumming. You've been playing drums your whole life. He says, you're thinking too much. Like, remember those days, or remember the New Year's where you see your, you know, your water's on the floor and it's like, you're thirsty. So you start playing with one hand and you reach for your water, you take a drink and right. And he says, you didn't think about it. You just did it. So he said, do that. Don't think about the drumming. And that helped. The second thing that he said to me, because I was just new to keyboards sort of at that time too. So he said, what you need to do with your right hand when you're playing your bass or playing your keyboards is, first of all, you don't need to move it, because the whole octave, all the notes you need are within the thumb and your
okay, yeah, that's true.
Right? So you don't need to be looking at it. You don't need to necessarily be moving all over the place. But he says, what you need to do is now teach your right hand how to sing. And that all made sense to me at the time, because then it's your intervals and root five, right? And of course, it still took a little while to make it feel kind of comfortable, but he was really integral in putting that together for me.
Yeah, and then I'm guessing you're singing a bit too, doing this, right?
Yep, and then I sing, with Thorn and Roses, Jana LaDuke and I do all the main vocals. And then, of course, the three of us do three-part harmonies every time we get to a chorus.
Okay. Well, once things open up again, I'd just love to come out. I know you were doing things like Boar's Head and different bars like that. So it'd be nice to come out to see you when you're playing.
oh, it'd be nice to get out and it'd be nice to be seen. You know,
this is crazy.
Just get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want to go? We kind of jumped way ahead because I started talking about your playing piano, but do you want to go back to those teenage years when you first started playing music?
Yeah. So basically it started with my brother's band, Partners, Brothers and Friends. And it was in those years that I learned how to sing and play drums. I played drums. I didn't sing. However, when I was younger, when I was 7 years old, I was in the boys choir. And of course, through public school, you do all the Kiwanis festivals and such. And so I learned how to sing when I was young, but then when I was out playing drums later, I didn't actually sing at that time. And I remember we were at a band rehearsal with my brother, and he said, well, Chase sings, why don't we give him a microphone and let him do some harmonies or something. I thought, well, I'll give her a go. Sure. Oh. And I'll never forget the first time I did it, because as soon as I started singing, my drumming just fell apart.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was just like, oh, right brain, left brain, right brain. Yeah. Oh boy. But like anything, like any instrument, it's muscle memory. You just have to push through the awkward moments and make it comfortable. Right. So that all happened in my early teens. After that, I'd say I was about 19. I was 19, and unbeknownst to me, my brother called Terry Sumption.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And he said, you might, and I didn't know this. I had no idea. He never told me about it. And we were playing at the Dominion House in Stratford.
Yep. Okay.
And my brother called Terry and said, hey, you might want to come and check out my brother, drummer. And so one night, of course, all of a sudden we were playing and playing away and playing. And Terry Sumption comes in the back and sits at the bar. And of course, everybody knew who he was. And I was like, holy smokes, Terry Sumption's here. This is crazy. And on the break, he came over and said, Jake, can I talk to you for a bit? Absolutely. So we sat down. I think he had a water at the time. And I of course, I was just of age, but I think I was still drinking water at that time, too. I know we were in a bar, but no beer. And that's okay. He said to me, I'm looking for a new drummer in my band. Would you be interested?
Tonight we'll meet again the way we always do, 'cause I need your love and you need my love too. Oh my darling, I can't wait for your warm embrace when you meet me and wait for your warm embrace when you meet me tonight at our loving place, at our loving place where all is quiet from people's eyes, at our loving place where just we two can do what we came to do. And we'll leave before the sun the way we always do. I'll pretend I don't know you. Oh, my darling, I can't wait for your warm embrace. When you meet me tonight at our loving place, when you meet me tonight at our loving place,
that was a big jump and a big start for me because at the age of 19, Terry kind of pulled me out of the bar circuit. And now we were on a bus and doing, you know, bigger shows.
Oh,
and
for sure, yeah.
So that was also another huge learning step. You know, everybody through their career, you never stop learning. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You're still learning even when you're 51. But that was a huge step because what I learned from him was how to do a show. He was so good at captivating a crowd with his voice and not just singing, but his banter. You know, he had very good, clean, fun family joke. He was very confident in how he spoke. He demanded the room listen to him. And again, I learned a lot from just from sitting behind him,
yeah,
watching him.
Who was in the band at that time? Can you remember the other players?
Yes. Wayne Heimbecker was on guitar, who wrote Love and Place.
Really? Okay.
Yep. And I believe Doug Johnson was in the band for the first bit. And then Dale Rivard after that. Ben White was on bass. And Norm. Oh, sorry, Norm, if you're listening. Norm, I can't think of his last name. Oh, okay. No. Norm from
right.
Cheers. It was, yeah. Norm from Cheers. I played guitar and Carrie Moore sang background vocals.
Oh, great. Okay.
And I did as well at the time. So yeah, yeah. It was a huge learning curve.
Yeah. Are you going back and forth across Canada or just like an Ontario tour or?
Mostly just Ontario for the most part, but yeah, up to Thunder Bay, Sudbury.
Really?
But again, it was more theaters and just bigger shows as opposed to clubs. So it was a nice treat, actually.
Yeah. Plus, you're getting used to sound and lights, like everything would be professionally done. So, like you're listening to really, really good quality monitors and knowing what you want to hear, right?
Yes, yeah. It was different because you know usually at some of the clubs and bars and you know you got feedback and the guitar player's too loud, you can't hear, everyone's too loud and. So that was a professional setting, basically.
Yeah, so that's kind of where the bar is set. So everything after that you'd still want that quality, right? You can't go backwards.
Yes, exactly. And you know, through time, of course, that's with in-ears and new technology now, of course, it's a little easier to get a better sound quicker and faster without any feedback today. But mind you, back in 1985, you had big old amps and big monitors and speakers and light, and it wasn't small. This stuff was heavy and big.
How many years did you play with Terry Sumption?
Terry, that would have been maybe about five years or so. And then from there, I jumped into Jim Witter.
Really? Okay.
Yep, I played with Jim Witter. He had his first song on the radio, Distant Drum was the song. And a friend of mine who was playing guitar had said, well, they were looking for a singing drummer. And he said, hey, you should give my buddy Jay a call. So I went down and met with Jim and we jammed a few songs. And of course, I joined his band. And then we toured across. That was my first cross Canada touring.
With Jim.
Wow. Yeah, we did. Then it went, so we all loaded up in a Dodge van. And I'll tell you what, there's a big difference between touring in a van with a bunch of boys and touring in a van with two ladies, like in Thorn and Roses. When you're in the van with the boys, by the end of 2 weeks or 3 weeks, the van stinks. there's garbage all over the place. You hit the brakes and Coke bottles are rolling all over the place. And I'll tell you what, when you are in a trio with two females, it is as sweet as pie. It's always clean. It never stinks. It's a big difference. Oh, yeah. So with Jim, we ended up, getting in this van and going across Canada about, I don't know, 4 or 5 times I went. But now it was a step up again, because now we were doing Craven Festival and Merritt Mountain Music Festival and opening for different U.S. acts, Vince Gill. Yeah. And so, yeah, that was another big high opener.
And I think he went gospel at some point, too. Like, I don't know if you were involved in the years that he, because he changed his musical style, I think, right?
He did. Yes, he did. No, I was not involved at that point. I did the countryside. And then he got a sub deal with Mike Curb, and he was working on developing a record. And I went down to Nashville actually with Jim once. I asked him, I said, can I go down and just sit in the back of the control room? I won't say anything. I'll pay my way, but I'm just really curious to just watch a Nashville session. And so he allowed me. So we went down together. Again, huge eye opener, but that deal never ended up working out. And a lot of the songs that he was recording then ended up going on a gospel record. And he did. He won a few awards at the Dove Awards, I believe, after that. I couldn't tell you what year that was.
Yeah.
I hear the beat of a distant drum. Is that my horn coming undone? Is it trying to tell me you are the one? I hear the beat of a distant drum. I hear the waves crashing on the shore. Lightning flashes, thunder roars, telling me something has just begun. I hear the beat of a distant drum. Distant drums getting louder, hearing pounding in my brain. I don't know where this track is leading, but I'd love to ride that train. Drum. Is that my heart coming undone? Is it trying to tell me you are the one? I hear the beat of a distant drum. Distant drums getting louder. Hear it pounding in my brain. I don't know where this track is leading, but I'd love to.
So obviously you're not doing any sort of a day job. You're right from when you're finished high school, you're 100% musician, I guess, right?
Yep. Since 1985, that's all I've done.
5 years or so in Terry Sumption and then Jim Witter.
Then with Jim. And then Jim, I was with him for about 2.5 years. Oh, and then it was when he got his deal with Mike Curb. He was taking 8 months off or a year off to write a record and do this, you know, fulfill his obligations on the contract. And so Farmer's Daughter, who had just, they had, I think, 2 songs out at the time, Son of a Preacher Man and Oh, I can't tell you what the second one was. But they were getting a bit of recognition at the time.
Okay.
And they were looking for a band for just in Ontario. So like they would fly out from Vancouver, the girls rehearse with a new band instead of flying their whole band back and forth. It was just cheaper, right? So they called Jim and asked Jim, well, do you know of any good players that we could use for, you know, we want to come out? And Jim says, well, why don't you just use my band? Because I'm not doing anything right now. And so that, of course, led to The Farmer's Daughter.
Wow. And, okay, great.
Yeah.
And so also same thing, big, nice big shows. And you're traveling a fair bit then?
Yeah. Yeah. Travel actually a lot. The girls, oh boy, they were doing 240 some shows a year.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay.
They were really, really, really busy. And again, it was good. They did have a bus, so it was a little, the traveling was a little bit more comfortable. And you could see the grow, like at anybody's career, when they start off, you get a couple of hits and people kind of know who you are. But I noticed within the, oh boy, I was with them for almost 9 years off.
Oh, a little bit.
And ended up marrying one of them.
Oh, okay.
I did, Jacqueline Leisky. So that was a great time. Again, I'm so lucky and fortunate to have been picked or brought into that circle. You know, this the whole music thing is a family. And I hate to say it's clicky, that's not the proper word for it, but like any job, there are groups of people that get along and other people that don't, right? And much like the music industry, once Terry pulled me out of the bar circuit and sort of shook my hand and brought me under his wing, then now I was playing with Doug Johnson and playing with these really heavy players, right? And so then once you get to play with them and get to hang with them, and once they realize you're a good guy and know your craft, then when other people would call Doug and say, hey, we really need a drummer, who, you know, Doug would go, hey, call Jay. So the network part of that really explodes.
Oh yeah.
Earlier in the program, you heard Farmer's Daughter with Lonely Gypsy Wind. Let's take a break now to listen to another one of their hits, Son of a Preacher Man, released in 1995.
The backyard we go walking, Betty look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only boy who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was, ooh, yes he was. Everything is all right. Kiss and tell me everything is all right. Can we get away again tonight? Oh, the only boy who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was, ooh, yes, he was.
I'm Grant Haywood from Wellesley, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio, Waterloo.ca.
Like the first time I wrote and sang a song, it felt like heaven, sounded like hell.
All aboard!
I know. I know South Mountain kind of comes into focus at some point.
Yes.
Would that be after the Farmer's Daughter then, or?
Right after Farmer's Daughter?
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So yeah, how'd that come to be?
That was. I'll tell you a little quick story about my first experience with South Mountain, and it was a bar gig in Cambridge, and it's not there anymore. Little Bighorns.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've played there many times.
Yeah, and Steve Patico called me. I don't know where he got my name, but again, it's that back to what I just mentioned about the referencing people networking. It's like, oh, yeah, call this guy, call this guy, call this guy. So he got my name from somebody and said, oh, hey, I heard that you play traditional country and, you know, we play with Terry. Yep, yep, yep. Hey, well, we need a drummer. Would you come and fill in whatever weekend? Sure. And of course, I had heard of South Mountain. I didn't really know a lot of their material at the time, but I knew that Don Reed and Steve Patico were monsters in the industry. And so I was a little bit nervous, first time in a long time, that I was actually like, okay, I'm sitting in between Steve Patico and Don Reed, and I have no idea what we're about to play.
Yeah.
Of course, no rehearsals, no nothing, just get up on stage and 1, 2, 3, 4, and away you go. And my first experience, the first song, Steve turned around, counted it to Humalaka, which is a train feel. Humalaka, Humalaka, duga duga duga.
Okay, yeah.
And he counts her off, so we start going, and there's Steve singing, and I threw him harmonies when I knew the song or when I could. And all of a sudden, Steve does a solo. And I remember distinctly looking at his amp and thinking to myself, that's not possible.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to see if he had any B benders or hip shots or anything, because all the strings were bending. He made it sound like a steel guitar.
Oh yeah.
But yet it's all done with his fingers. And I remember looking, I'm not kidding you, I looked at the amp and just went, that's, I've never heard anything like
that. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And his pocket is so great and his tone is so great and he's so clean and so fast and just like so inspiring. Actually, he kicks you in the butt. It's like I found myself all of a sudden counting, going 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Like I don't want to be the odd man out, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he finishes his solo and then Don starts playing. And I remember looking at Don's amp and thinking to myself, that's not possible. And then they started playing twin stuff together. And of course, I'm sitting right in between. I got the best seat in the house. I see everybody. I see the lead singer. I see the drummer has the best seat in the house. You see everything. And they start playing together. And honestly, I was so inspired that first night playing with them. I was on such an adrenaline rush because it was so musical and it was so new and fresh and good.
Oh yeah, you guys
and,
are incredible.
And I'd never had an opportunity for that. So, and at the end of the gig, the end of that first night, Steve came over and asked if I wanted to join the band.
Wow.
And I said, yep. Let me actually, I think I said, well, let me just check my, yep, I'm in. One of those.
Yeah. It's funny. I mentioned, I interviewed, Bill Murray from Stratford. He's, he used to have a band called the Moonlighters, but he recorded, an album with just him singing, but, like yourself and Steve Patico, Don Reed, I think, Doug Dietrich, there was a piano player. And then, I think Bill's sister, Linda. But yes. It's funny how, as soon as I started listening to it, I said to myself, that's South Mountain. Like I could recognize the fiddle and, Steve Patico right away.
Yeah. They have a very unique, very unique sound together. The two of them. You're right. I said the same thing when I'm listening to songs on the radio, I can tell it's like, that's Don. But when you've had Don Reed on the left side of my hi-hats for 20 years, like I played with them for 20 years, you get to know a person and you get to know their playing, and I can pick them out.
Oh yeah. Well, especially Steve, he's got that really, I'm not sure what kind of guitar he's playing, but you can tell the tone right off. Like if he just played two or three notes, I could tell it's him. So,
yeah.
Sit back as we listen to two tracks. The first one is Jay singing with South Mountain, doing the classic tune, Georgia. What a great version this is. Right after, we're going to hear Stratford's Bill Murray singing The Fireman. This recording had Jay on drums and backup vocals, and also Don Reed on fiddle, Steve Patico on guitar and bass, Doug Dietrich on steel, Linda Murray on backup vocals, and Mella Coyne on piano. Bill Murray's album, Never Too Late, was produced by Jay Rail. Enjoy.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind all the time. I say, Georgia, Georgia, a song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly, still in peaceful dreams I see. Georgia, Georgia, no peace I found, just an old sweet song that keeps Georgia on my mind. Other arms, they reach out to me, yeah. Other eyes smile tenderly, still in peaceful dreams I see. Georgia, oh, oh, oh. Georgia on my mind. It's just an old sweet song that keeps Georgia on my mind. It's crazy.
My name, making my rounds all over town, putting out all the flame. Well, everybody like to have a what I got. Well, I can cool them down when they're smoldering hot. I'm the fireman, that's my name. Last night they had a big one, a mile or two down the road. Well, my buddy left his woman, she was burning right out of control. I was down there about an hour or so with a little mouth and mouth. She was ready to go. I'm the fireman, that's my name. Yeah, they call me the fireman, that's my name. Making my rounds all over town, putting out all the flame. Well, everybody likes to have what I got. Well, I can cool them down when it's smoking hot. I'm the fireman. That's my name. I got a fire engine red T-Bird automobile. I can redress fit to kill. I work 24 on and 24 off. When they get too hot, they just give me a call. I'm the fireman, that's my name. Yeah, they call me the fireman, that's my name. Making my rounds all over town, putting out all the flame. Smoldering hot on the fireman, that's my name. They call me the fireman, that's my name.
You actually went to Europe and stuff too with this band, right? You guys
for a bit? Yes, we did. For 20 years. They're still going. They've went every year for, 25 years or so.
Okay.
And that's a whole, I'll tell you, man, touring in Europe is fun.
I bet.
The people are amazing. The food is amazing. A couple of things I noticed, a difference between North America and Europe is the bread over there is better.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. Yeah. It's just, it's not as filling. Like you have, sometimes you have a bun or two over here and it's like, oh, I feel so bloated. Over there, you can have that same, like a bun and you're not. Like it's just better. The cheese is better. The beer is better. And they have some really cute girls too. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Yeah. You must have played some cool venues because that would be all big stuff, I guess, over there, right?
It was a mix. It was a mix of theaters, some smaller pubs, some smaller places, some festivals. Yeah, it was sort of a mix of all, really.
Yeah, I know you cut a couple albums as well, too, with South Mountain.
Yeah, I think, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I'm on six
wow.
records.
I didn't realize you did all that. Wow.
They've got quite a few, actually. Now, the three of the six that we did was mostly covers, just for product, sort of just to pseudo sell.
Yeah.
And but there was a couple of records where we sat down and we'd write, and plus of course we'd throw in some covers on there as well. But but it was a mixed bag. But I'll tell you, just even I owned the studio at the time that we were recording at. And of course, I've done a bunch of sessions by that point. But when you have Steve and Don, like two masters in there, I learned a lot from them just in arrangements and bringing dynamics up and back and down and like the little things that the coloring of stuff. And it's just from working with them, because they just know when to play, when not to. The biggest asset you have as a player is knowing when not to play.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. I know I've been recording recently myself, and I find that I overplay on everything. Like after I record my guitar part, I go to mix it down and I realize that, you know, it's a total mess.
It's true. Well, you know what? Same thing with Terry Sumption. I came from, you know, I was just out of high school and I had, you know, long hair down to the middle of my back and big drums and cymbals and all this stuff. And the biggest thing I learned from Terry Sumption was that. Because I sort of came from a wee bit of a rock and roll background, and and you know, rock players tend to be a little busier, make bigger tom fills, longer tom fills, more of them, you know, bigger cymbals, crashes, bang, bang, bang. And now, of course, I know that the genre of country doesn't necessarily require that, so I would still play a country vibe. But Terry really honed in on me that aspect of it's about what you don't play, you know. Space is your best friend in music.
For sure. Yeah, and just the dynamics, just, you know, backing right off and then building up later, and
ramping into lift when it needs to. But if you just stay lifted all the time, you got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Well, we've reached the end of part one of the Musician's FAQ feature on Jay Real. Stay tuned in the upcoming weeks for follow-up episodes on Jay's musical career. In the meantime, you can check out Jay on Facebook to see what he's up to. To hear other Musician's FAQ episodes with your favorite musicians, just navigate to radiowaterloo.ca, click on the Categories dropdown, and select Musician's FAQ. We're going to end off with a song to give you a taste of the upcoming shows with Jay Real. This time it's his current band, Thorn and Roses, with their song, Coffee. Till next time, it's Steve Todd, and thank you for listening to Musician's FAQ on 102.7 CKMS.
She was a beautiful stranger by the pool table, chalking up her cue, showing off her blue jean silhouette. Well, I was a drink past drunk. I didn't think, but I should have thunk before I stumbled up to her and smiled. And I said, how do you take your coffee? Cream or sugar, sugar, put your order in, so I can fix it for you in the morning. Oh, when we wake up, how do you take your coffee? I'll slip out of bed and let you sleep late. Get it dripping in the kitchen and I'll have it made, just like you like it in my Who Got Lucky cup. Now she said, oh, oh, slick, rack 'em up and grab a stick. Then she broke and we joked till I scratched on the 8. She laughed and she said, boy, you must be out of your mind. I've heard some pick-up lines. Oh, but by George Strait, I ain't never heard a cowboy say. How do you take your coffee? Cream or sugar, sugar, put your order in, so I can fix it for you in the morning. Oh, when we wake up, how do you take your coffee? I'll slip out of bed and let you sleep late. guess I did. Till she took my hand, wrote her number on it, and she whispered,
"Here's how I take my coffee, cream and sugar, sugar, put my order in. Maybe you can fix it for me, well, on it, just like I like it in your room. Got a lucky cup."
Well, we're gonna pass things over to Mr. Don Reed and his five-string golden fiddle.